the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad it's simple? Amen. So that we could get it. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad of that. Amen. That the Lord just makes himself known to the simple-hearted. Amen. The humble, the meek, those that are seeking him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, while you're standing tonight, let's just bow our heads as we change the order of the service here tonight. Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, to be able to gather together once again, Father. Lord, just to open your word, Lord, and partake, oh God, of the living revealed word, Lord. You've made it living by your spirit, Lord, anointing, Lord, your word to bring new life into our hearts, Lord. And, Lord, to help us, to give us the grace, Lord, and the spiritual strength, Lord, to live it out, Lord. And that's what we desire, Father. We desire to draw closer to you and be more like you, Lord, and live your word out, Lord God, to live everything that you have for us, Lord. Lord, and we know that your word says that's more than we can think or imagine. It's beyond our understanding, Lord, but we want everything that you have for us, Lord. We want to be pleasing to you in all ways, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you just bless this word tonight. Bless each one that's come, Lord, so faithfully, Lord, on a Wednesday night to hear the word. Father, I pray that you just bless them, Lord. And I pray you feed them from your word, Father. And, Lord, we all need you, Lord. We need you more and more every day, Lord. I need you, Lord. I pray that you'd help me tonight, Lord. You know my weakness, Lord. And Father, I pray that you would just bless this time we have together, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. Amen. God bless you tonight. Brother and Sister Baker are out for a little vacation, I guess. They're up in Fairbanks, Alaska, where it's in the minus 20s during the day. So, I guess the main reason is to be able to see the Northern Lights, right? To get a firsthand view of the Northern Lights. But I would say the same thing to them that I said to Brother Eli. You're supposed to go south in the winter, right? You're not supposed to go north. It's got things turned around here. This is when it's nice here. Go to Alaska in the summertime. Anyway, pray the Lord would bless them. Amen. And maybe just... I'm sure they're having a nice time just sitting in the cabin and enjoying some peace and quiet, watching the snowfall and different things. So just keep them in your prayers if you don't mind. Amen. Amen. And tonight we'd like to turn for a scripture reading into 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So just invite you as we just take this text here tonight. Familiar scripture, I'm sure, to many of us. We've quoted many times, but I do want to focus on one particular part of it here tonight. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's such an encouragement, amen. I'm glad that Paul put that little parenthetical in there, aren't you? Because, you know, it isn't, oh man, we're not warring after the flesh, we're warring after the spirit, but, you know, you could almost sound defeated, but he makes sure to remind us, amen? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty, amen? To the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. And you can have your seats tonight. For a subject tonight, I'd just like to speak for a few minutes about mind battles. Amen, mind battles. Amen, praise the Lord. Good to see, I think I saw Brother Eli and Sister Kendall. God bless you. It's nice to see you tonight. Amen, pleasant surprise. Amen, praise the Lord. So, you know, we quote this, like I said, we quote the scripture many times. Just understanding that we are in a spiritual battle. Amen. We're not in a carnal battle. And as we've been hearing the last few services being preached that, you know, just because you have, you know, an altercation or a disagreement with someone else, it's not with that person. Your battle is not with that person. Your battle is with the spirit. Amen. And we know that that we are spiritual beings, and spiritual warfare is part of our daily walk. Amen. Most of the conflicts with other people are really just us coming up against spirits that are trying to attack you. They're using somebody to try and get to you, or they're trying to anoint someone, amen, to inflict battle on you. Amen. And it is battle. Amen. This is war for our souls. This is not something that we should take lightly. Amen. It's something that, you know, a battle or a war, it's, you know, I never understood, you know, some of the old times where they would have rules for warfare. You know, it's like, well, you know, everybody has to march out and they all have to stand and they all have to, you know, do a certain thing and and there's a decorum for killing each other and maiming each other. You know, I think people have gotten a little past that, but it used to be, you know, there is a way to do things. It's like, you know, you're trying to kill the guy, you know. War is brutal, amen? And our spiritual warfare is no different. We have an enemy that's trying to kill us, amen? And he's not interested in being nice. He's not interested in hurting feelings, you know, decorum or anything like that. He's after your soul. He's trying to steal from you your joy, amen, your salvation. He's trying to do whatever he can to hinder you and to destroy your very being. Amen. So we have a real enemy and we have a real battle on our hands. And, you know, this should come as no surprise, because when we were in the world, headed the direction of the world and headed down the same road as the devil, we were no threat to him. Amen. But once God has saved you and turned you around and amen, you're holding on to a promise, amen, that tears his kingdom down, now you're a threat. Amen. And so it's no surprise that he would come against the children of God. So this is not something that should be new to us. It's not something that, you know, we should be taken, you know, by surprise on. But it nonetheless, even though we know it, it's still a struggle. Amen. It's still a battle. Amen. And I'm so thankful that even though we have an adversary and even though we have an enemy who wants to do the worst he can to you, we have a loving Father who, he's a moderator, amen? He only allows certain things to come your way, and he only allows what's best for you, amen? And I hold on to that. I don't know about you, brother, sister, but I hold on to that promise, amen, and believe that God only allows what is best for me to come across my path, to come into my life. I believe my life is in his hands. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I just want to say, Lord, I trust you. Amen. Amen. No matter what hardship, what trial, what battle I'm fighting right now, Lord, I trust you. Amen. And I know, Lord, that it's going to come out for my good. I know that there's something good that's going to happen. Amen. I know that it's for a purpose, and it's there's a reason behind it. It's not just suffering without without a purpose. Amen. But I trust God. Amen. He's my Father. I trust him. Do you trust him tonight? Amen. Amen. We trust him to do what's best for us. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for that. And none of us is exempt from this battle. It doesn't matter who we are, how spiritual we may think we are, how long we've been serving God, we're all susceptible to it. We're all in the same battle. Amen. And, you know, I would say this sometimes, brother, sister, sometimes the person who you think looks like they've got it together the most, they might be fighting the hardest battle. Amen. They on the outside, they're saying, God bless you, and everything looks fine. And you're thinking, well, they don't have any problems. If they had my problems, they wouldn't act that well. Well, you don't know. Maybe they're fighting a harder battle than you've ever fought. They might be fighting the hardest battle of their life. They might be going through something. Amen. But yet, at the same time, Their testimony is that Jesus is my Savior. Amen. He is my Lord and King of my life. Amen. So maybe they're just not letting it affect them. Maybe you just aren't seeing it. But that doesn't mean it's not hard. That doesn't mean you shouldn't pray for them. Amen. That's why we should be praying for each and every one. We should be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Amen. When the prayer requests come across the desk, we should take heart to those. We've said it before, but it bears repeating once again, a reminder. Amen. That when, you know, a brother Parks that asked, somebody is getting a surgery, right? Well, that, you know, that's meaningful. That's, you know, we want to be faithful to pray for those things. We want to hold each other up. Amen. Because those are opportunities for the enemy to get in and mess with your mind and cast doubt in your life and just make it a struggle for you. But if you have brothers and sisters lifting you up, amen, it can help you in your battle, in your fight. Amen. Hallelujah. Now we're taught in our message that the greatest battle is in our mind. Is that right? And that's why what we want to speak about tonight is mind battles. Amen. Because that is the greatest battle, because all of it starts in our mind. Amen. And we know that that's the neutral place. When we're saved, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're born again of the Spirit of God, our soul is sealed. Amen. Our soul belongs to God. God takes a man's soul. Amen. And he seals, God is sealed in and Satan is sealed out. And Satan has no access to your soul anymore. He can't touch it. Amen. But he can touch your mind. He can influence your mind. He can plant thoughts in your mind. He can wage war against you in your mind. It's a neutral ground. So even a born-again believer who's filled with the Holy Ghost and sealed by God still has to fight a mind battle. They're still in that battle, maybe even more heavy than before. Amen? But now there's a power down on the inside that can help you fight that battle. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'm so glad that Satan is sealed out. Amen. Amen. And it's good to remind him of that. Amen. No matter what happens to me, my life is sure. Amen. No matter what happens to me, I have eternal life. No matter what happens to me, devil, I'm going to live longer than you will. Amen. When you're long gone and just a faint memory, amen, cast into the sea of the lake of fire, amen? I'm going to go on because I have eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. Through Christ Jesus, I possess something. Something has got a hold of my soul. I'm so thankful his grace made a way for it. Amen. Hallelujah. But even in that, our mind is still human. Amen. We know that we're made up of flesh and spirit and soul, and the spirit, the human spirit realm is still part of that fallen nature, and it still can be accessed. Right. Amen. The enemy has access to it, and he can place in thoughts and he can place in worries, and it's a furious place of warfare. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. And boy, it feels like it sometimes, don't it? Amen. This is why we are instructed in the Bible, in the scripture that we read, to cast down imaginations. Imagination is part of that human spirit realm. It's part of our mind. Is that right? When we look at those things, imagination and reasoning and memories, right? Affections. Those are all part of our what we call our mind, right? That's our human that spirit realm, amen? And the Bible says that we cast down those imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that's not according to the Word of God, we cast it down. Anything that doesn't agree with God's Word, we cast it down. Amen? Anything that exalts itself above God's Word, we cast it down. And bring into captivity every thought. The Bible says, grab a hold of it. Every thought, and examine it. Bring it into the obedience of Christ. Amen. These are challenging words. These are active words. Amen. To cast means to lower or with violence demolish something. Amen. Or to rip it or detach it, untangle it away. To cast it down. Amen. That's not a delicate, well, let me just, you know, nicely, you know, like I do when the, you know, it's kind of like when we get little spiders in the house. Amen. And I give them a name because they're nice. And if my wife gets tired of them being in the house, she says, please get it out of the house. I'm very delicate with them. I don't want to hurt them. I try and relocate them. Right. We get a little praying mantis. I take a little napkin or something and you try and take it outside. But you know what happens when a scorpion comes in the house? I've got these little tweezers that are spring-loaded, and I just grab that guy, and I take him out and stomp him, right? That's what we're supposed to do with those thoughts. You're not supposed to be playing around with them, treating them nice. Oh, poor guy, you just need to go outside. No. Grab that thing. Cast it down. Smash it under your foot. Yes. Amen? Amen? With violence, demolish. Right. Yeah. To use force to throw it down. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. To bring it into captivity means to capture it. Right. Uh-huh. Amen. I love those little tweezer, man. I just grab them. they grab a hold of the little stinger, you know? Just grab a hold of that thing, and man, he can't do anything. He's flailing at me. It's great. I love it. Just grab them. Out you go. You don't belong here. Amen? You're not according to the word of God, you don't belong in my mind. Amen? This is not passive. This is aggressive. Brother Doug's talking about, you going to be passive or aggressive or passive aggressive? This is aggressive. Amen? Be aggressive. They're not easy things, and sometimes they're painful things. And that battle beats us up because sometimes they just keep coming back and battering us and battering us. Thoughts that invade your mind that say, believe this, believe this, believe this. Amen? Especially when it comes to symptoms, right? When we're sick, it just beats on you and beats on you and batters you and batters you. You have this, you have this, you have this. Amen? And you have to capture it and throw it down and capture it and throw it down.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
And it's painful. And it's a battle. But I'm so thankful for His sufficiency. Amen. Amen. We can't do it on our own. Oh, but He said He would strengthen us. Hallelujah. He said He'd be with us. He said He would comfort us. I'm so glad that the mighty God wanted to be identified among us as our comforter. Amen. Hallelujah. So why does the enemy attack your thoughts so hard? Why there? Because in your thoughts lies power. Amen. What you think matters. Amen. Let's read a couple more scriptures here in Proverbs. And I've got these both in the King James and the Amplified here. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Diligence. That means you're on the job. You're paying attention. Amen. For out of it are the issues of life. Which means watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Amen. And then 23:7 says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. These thoughts determine how you live your life. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Your thoughts, where it says, from it flow the springs of life. Your life will reflect what thoughts dwell in your mind. Amen. We've all met those people that choose to be positive. Amen. And they choose to entertain positive thoughts. And they choose to reject negative thoughts. Amen. And their life begins to reflect it. Their life pattern follows their thinking. Amen. We're taught by our messenger that this was how God expressed himself. He started with a thought. You started with a thought. Amen. We found out that we were in the eternal thinking of God. He had a thought, and then that thought became a word. A word was a thought expressed. The thought moved to a word, and then the word expressed the thought, and then that became creation. It became manifest. Amen. That the power of that manifestation started, it was a seed as a thought. And your thoughts are no different. Amen. There's power in your thoughts. There's a saying that says the tongue only speaks what the mind has rehearsed 1,000 times. Amen. Let's look at Proverbs 18:21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Well, the tongue expresses a thought. It starts with thinking. Amen? It starts in the mind. And then amplified, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. Yeah. Well, they wouldn't have said that if they hadn't thought it first.
It's true.
Amen? Sure. And then Mark 7:21, Jesus says, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Yeah. Right? That's where it starts. Adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetous, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Every one of those evil things started as a thought. In Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Amen. Amen. Thoughts become words. Words become actions. Actions become habits. And habits become the way of your life. Your path of life. Amen. Your life is just made up of a bunch of habits. Amen? You think about it. Well, how did it all start? Start with a thought. Amen. So we see that there is power in thoughts, in your mind. Amen? And allowing certain thoughts to linger in your mind is like letting seeds begin to germinate and take root and grow. Amen? They become entrenched. They become absorbed. Or you absorb them. Amen. You've probably ever heard somebody say, you know, when you want to think about something, they say, well, let's let it percolate a little bit, right? Well, what is that? It's like percolating coffee, right? Percolating coffee is when you run that hot water over those coffee beans, and what happens? It absorbs it. It begins to be changed by that percolation. Amen? Those thoughts began to become absorbed and they become your testimony. So if we let the wrong thoughts become entrenched in our hearts and our minds, it makes our battle that much harder, brother, sister. If you look at the scripture, just about every spiritual defeat in the Bible starts or can be traced back to something that they thought that was wrong. Amen? The war is won or lost in the mind before the circumstances even happen, before it's even played out. Amen? You look at David and Goliath. David's attitude won the battle. His attitude towards the Word of God. Right? They were trying to plant thoughts of doubt in David's mind. The giant's too big, the giant's this, the giant's that, the giant's this. And David was dwelling on the Word of God. His thinking was what God's Word said. They said the giant's too big. Amen? And like the saying goes, David thought the giant's too big to miss. Amen? It all started, the actually killing the giant was just an outflow of what thoughts he let dwell in his mind. The Bible says that Abraham called those things which were not as though they were. Well, what is that? He was thinking about the promise. You don't think that Abraham had to cast some thoughts down? Yeah. I mean, I don't think they probably, you know, had mirrors everywhere. But I'm sure he was aware that he was 100 years old. Right. Amen? I mean, I'm in my 40s and I feel it. I know it. He knew it. He knew his body was dead. He certainly had eyes to see Sarah. Amen? You don't think thoughts just bombarded him? What are you thinking, Abraham? Really? Amen. Constantly. Abraham had to fight a mind battle for 25 years.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. He had to cast down his own thoughts of defeat.
Right.
He had to cast down his own knowledge, actual knowledge, reasoning of what he was physically. The Bible says that he considered not his own body dead. In other words, he didn't let his thoughts dwell on it. He saw it for sure. He had to acknowledge it, but he didn't let his thinking dwell on that. He didn't let himself consider that as a hindrance to God's word coming to pass. And that word consider in the Bible, you can look it up there in Romans chapter 4. I didn't write that one down for us to look at. But he says, the Bible says that he didn't consider that. Amen? And that consider means to attentively fix on. To give it attention. Amen? To pay attention to it. It's screaming for attention. That's what symptoms do. They scream for attention. But he refused to attentively fix his eyes or his mind on that. Instead, he fought that battle every day he got up 25 years. Now he had lapses. He had shortcomings. He had bad days. I mean, Hagar and Ishmael.
Right?
But overall, he held to the promise. The Bible says he staggered not, but was strong in faith. Amen? He won that mind battle. Maybe he didn't win it every day. Like I said, Hagar and Ishmael. Maybe he didn't win it every day, but he won that battle. Amen? Now let's flip to another one. David. We just talked about David with Goliath. What about David and Bathsheba? Amen? That act started with a thought. David saw Bathsheba and he began to think about it. If he had cast that thought down, amen, he wouldn't have sinned against God. But because he allowed that thought just to hang around, he saw her and he began to think about it. And he began to entertain that thought, and he let it dwell, and he let it hang out, and he let it percolate. And that thought became action. And that action was sin. And it caused him all kinds of heartache. It caused the nation. I mean, he killed her husband. You know the story. Amen? But it was all because a look turned into a thought that he allowed to hang around. Amen? His action showed what was fermenting in his mind. Amen? Is that right? We see the power of this. If he had just stopped the thought right there, it never would have happened. But there's weakness, right? It's a battle. We fight a battle, amen? Hallelujah. But like I said, I'm so thankful that God knows. One time, Elijah the prophet, the mighty prophet, Brother Doug's been preaching about that showdown. Right? Well, the mighty prophet Elijah, he just got done with that showdown on Mount Carmel. And he killed the prophets, and man, he done all these mighty things, and he goes out in the desert, and the anointing lifts off of him, and what happens? He starts to think about suicide. Right? He's God's instrument, God's servant, a prophet of God. He was tired and overwrought and nervous, and he just said, just let me die. Brother Branham says this from the seventh seal. He says, see, the spirit had left him, talking about the anointing, in his natural way of thinking. He didn't know how to think. He couldn't think for himself. But this is where the grace of God stepped in. Remember, the angel put him to sleep and rested him and raised him up and gave him some cakes and put him back to sleep and rested him and raised him up and gave him some cakes again. And we don't know what happened to the man for 40 days. And he was pulled back in a cave somewhere. And God called him. The anointing had lifted off of him. That had been on him for that mighty showdown. And now he was weak and vulnerable. And he didn't even know how to govern his own thoughts. And without that, his thought is just, let me die. You see how the human thinking just goes right to the dark place. Right? But God, knowing that, sent an angel to take care of him. To help him in that time of need. To lift him up when he was vulnerable. To care for him. Amen? Until he was able to get his thinking right again. Amen? He'll take care of you, brother, sister. Amen? You believe that tonight? Amen? He'll take care of us when we can't take care of ourselves. We can lean on him. Amen? How many want to lean on him? I don't want to lean on my own strength. I want to lean on him tonight. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and it was all a battle of the mind. Amen? It wasn't anything physical. I mean, you know, there was hunger involved and all those things, but all the reasoning that the enemy brought, it was all in the mind. It was all in that realm. It was a battle over his thoughts. Amen? Satan was offering thoughts for him to accept. How about this? And take this. Doesn't the word say this? Doesn't the word say that? Doesn't the word say this? And Satan's just trying to get him to accept his thoughts. Satan's thoughts, right? And Jesus is running every one of them through the filter of the word. He says, it is also written. It is also written. The word says this. And by the Spirit of God, he's rightly dividing the word. This is the truth of the word. You're twisting the word. This is what God's word says. I won't receive those thoughts. Amen? Amen? He responded with, it is written. It is written. It is written. So how do you win a battle? It is written. It is written. It is written. Amen. Jesus showed us the way. God's truth. Amen. He is the living word. He is the way. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. We use a scriptural test. And then we cast down anything that doesn't match that. Remember, we cast down. We tear it down. We reject it. Amen. We put it away. But many times, brother, sister, what happens is we make it hard on ourselves. Amen? And that's just the truth of it. Sometimes we're our own worst enemies. We make ourselves fight a harder battle than we have to by what we allow into our lives. Amen? You know that Brother Branham said that this is a nervous age. Right? It's a characteristic of this age that it's a nervous age. It's an age of neurotics. It's an age of insanity, actually. People are actually walking in insanity. And, you know, when he said that all those years ago, you know, people might have had a case to make where they, really? What are you talking about? But now, I don't think you can make a case otherwise. People don't even know what species there are. Think they're a cat or a dog or something. And then people are so insane that they're just okay. Right? It's a nervous, insane age. And that is what we're battling against. Right? This isn't, we aren't being drugged to the Colosseum to be fed to lions. Right? This is not the age of the martyrs. This is not the age of Luther where we're protesting against the Catholic Church and we're working on the printing press and trying to, no, this is a different age. It's an age of lukewarmness, but it's an eagle age. We've been given an eagle anointing. Amen. Amen. Let's look at this. This is from the church age book. This is from the Thyatirian church age. But he puts a little nugget in here about our own age. He's talking about that church age, and he says, the Bible says, I will put no other burden on you. He says, the word for burden is weight or pressure. The pressure of the dark ages was either bend or be broken. Right? Bow or die. It was the Inquisition, and the power of the empire was backing up satanic worship. Right? We don't really have that in some places in the world, sure, right? But that's not the characteristic of the age as a whole. It says, be organized or pay with your life. He says, each age had its pressures. For example, a great burden of the last age is the pressures of riches. Soft living and nervous tensions in a complex age that we seemed unfitted to live in. Right? So this is in fact what we are battling against. And the mind battles that we fight are centered around these things. Amen? They're characterized by these riches and soft living and nervous tensions. He says also in Christ is revealed in his own word. He says, I was just talking to a young minister and his wife in the room just a few moments ago, and both of them are nervous, just like the rest of the world, the rest of the human beings on earth. I said, remember, Satan's got a punch coming at you, and I don't care who you are, he's got a right to that one punch. Which had you rather be, that punch? Be blind, or be an arthritic sitting in a chair, or be nervous? I don't want any of them. Well, yeah. But you got one punch coming. Something. He says, see, he's got somewhere he can punch you. He's got a right to that open place. Now that's the spot you got to keep covered all the time. And to see this nervous age that we're living in. So if this is the characteristic of this age, then we need to be aware of it and we need to be on guard. Right? Covering that. Amen. And in speaking to those, these people that he was speaking to, they're prone to nervousness. He teaches them that there are steps that they can take to keep that area covered or fortified in their life. Amen? Or whatever your weakness is, you can keep it covered. You can keep that fortified by the Word of God. Amen? So in an age of nervousness, we shouldn't be feeding our minds off of the things of the age. If we feed our minds of the things of the age, what are we going to reap? It's not a trick question. Nervousness. We're going to reap the things of the age. Right? If we're feeding on the things of the age, we're feeding those, we're allowing those thoughts, we're actively bringing those into our mind. Amen? TikToks and X and Instagrams and all that, right? We're feeding on the nervousness of the age. We're feeding on the neurotic attitudes of the world. Well, what do you expect's going to happen? You're going to be neurotic. You're going to be nervous. Amen? You're creating a bedding ground for spirits. You're creating an atmosphere for spirits to hang around. Amen. Romans 12:2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Amen? Don't be conformed to this world, amen, by allowing the thinking of the neurotic age into your mind, to dwell in your mind. Because the more that you let that wash over your mind, the harder it is to combat it. The harder it is to cast it down. Amen? And we think, well, I just need to read the Word, and I just need to listen to the tapes, and that's true, you do. But if you're full of the other stuff, there's a whole detox that has to happen. There's a whole casting down that has to happen first. Amen? 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the mind of them which believe not." If you feed on the things of the God of this world, that thinking is blinding minds from the Word of God. Amen? "Lest the light of this glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And then 2 Corinthians 11:3, "I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Amen. And we have control of it. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You can control what dwells in your mind. Amen. We think, well, you know, hey, if I just don't have anything to think about or anything to worry about, I'll be fine. I just need a vacation. Well, you go on vacation and you'll worry. You go on vacation and be nervous. Amen? I'm not saying anything wrong with vacation. Amen? We do need change of, you know, a break in routine and all of those things, but that's not the same as being washed by the water of the Word. Amen? We need to combat that wrong thinking with the truth. We need to combat it by keeping it out, keeping it at bay. But we're diligent about keeping it out and pressing to keep the world thinking out of our thoughts. We also want to press the truth in there. We want to dwell on the truth, and we want to pray, and we want to be in the right atmosphere. Amen? And that helps us fight that battle. But you know, if you say, well, I just need to go on vacation, or if I just had, you know, a bunch of money, then I wouldn't have to worry and I wouldn't have to stress about these things, or if I just had this, or if this was just the case, then I wouldn't worry anymore. Well, you know what? That'll happen, and then your mind will come up with something else to worry about. Amen? Your mind is creative. Hallelujah. I have a creative mind. Amen? My mind creates all kinds of things to worry about. Amen? All kinds of things to be nervous about. It creates fear. Amen? Even if it's founded on nothing. Even if there's nothing to be afraid of, it'll create something. And it'll constantly present, how about this? How about this? How about this? You want to worry about this? Hey, can I get you to be afraid of this? Can I get you to worry about this? What if this happened? Whatever it can do. Amen? Those thoughts will come. Amen. The enemy's good at his job. Amen? Hallelujah. God promised, though, that he would be the cleanser of our minds. Do you know that? Look at this, and this is from the message of Future Home. And in this message, he speaks at length about the three works of grace. If you're ever curious about the three works of grace, baptism, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, this is a great message to read or listen to, because he goes through it in detail and then carries that over into our new home. Amen? But look at what he says here. He says, talking about those three works of grace. He says, then you repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that he forgave you of your sins. He says, notice then, secondly comes sanctification, which sets our mind in order to holiness, to think right. Yeah. Sanctification. That sanctification happens in that second realm. It happens in your human spirit realm, right? And it makes you think right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It sets your mind in order for holiness. To think right, he says. Taking away, he says, sanctification is a compound Greek word which means cleansed and set aside for service. And then next comes the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost, that God might dwell in us. And the fire of God cleanses our hearts from sin and puts the Holy Ghost in there, inside. And then we bring forth the same life that this did, because that's in us. Amen. Amen. But your mind has to be right to receive that initial work, new birth work of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Your mind has to be right. That's why sanctification comes, to get your mind right so that you can receive that further work. Right. Well, it's the same way with every promise of God, brother, sister. Your mind has to be right.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? To receive healing, your mind has to be right.
Amen.
To receive a deliverance, your mind has to be right.
Amen.
Amen? You have to accept the word. You have to be fixed on the promise. Amen. Hallelujah. Just a couple more scriptures that I want to share with you, and then I'm going to read several quotes here. But Luke chapter 12, verse 22, this is familiar scripture to us all, but just to remind us, it's good to read the Bible. Amen. He said to his disciples, Jesus, of course, speaking here, therefore I say unto you, take no thought. Now, he doesn't say just think a little, or, think occasionally. It's no thought, right? Take no thought. This is not something that you should be worried about. For your life? Whoa. I mean, he just starts right off, right? Take no thought for your life. What you shall eat. Neither for the body. What you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? So in other words, your thinking is not going to do any good anyway. Your worrying about it doesn't help. If you then are not able to do that which is least, why worry or take thought for the rest? Amen? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not. They spin not. Yet I say that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O of little faith? Seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be doubtful of doubtful mind. Neither ye be of doubtful mind. Amen? What is a doubtful mind? It's just accepting things that are not the word of God. Amen? Accepting thoughts that are against what God's promise is. That's being a doubtful mind. It says, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. And then, of course, in Philippians 4, 6 says, be careful for nothing. But in other words, be full of care, right? For nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the peace of God shall be with you. Let's read it in the Amplified as well. It's just a couple of verses, and it just brings some just additional understanding. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, is yours. Finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of a good report, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. The things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things in daily life. And the God who is the source of peace and well-being will be with you. Amen. He will be with you. If you're anxious or worried, pray and petition with thanksgiving in your heart. Amen. Amen. That's key. Amen. Because what happens when you begin to thank Him? Your attitude changes. Right? Right? Amen. It's hard to dwell on what's wrong when you're thinking about what's good. That's why He says, think on these things. If there's anything worthy of praise, continually think on these things. Amen? I love how the Amplified puts that. Center your mind on them. Right. Amen. The outflowing of peace will guard. It will guard against wrong thoughts taking root. Amen. By doing these things, it will guard your heart, your mind. And it makes it easier in the long run. Amen? Amen? You know, it's like I don't remember if I've told this before, but I was thinking about, I don't know why this popped into my mind as an example of this, but when I was a lot younger, I was not very good about going to the dentist. It was a long time in between. And so I finally made an appointment to go to the dentist, and like it had been many, many, many years, right? Bad on me. Don't do that, kids, right? And or adults, don't do that. And you know, before I went to the dentist, had a dentist appointment. Before I went to the dentist, what do you do before you go to the dentist? You brushed your teeth, right? Well, I brushed my teeth like I'd never brushed my teeth before going to the dentist since I hadn't been to in many, many, many years. And you know what the hygienist said to me when she sat down and started looking at my mouth and checking out my teeth and said, "Did you just really brush your teeth really hard right before you came here?" Yes, okay, you caught me, right? Trying to brush your teeth really hard right before going to the dentist didn't make up for all the years of the gunk that had built up. Right? Don't feed your mind junk. Amen? It's better to prevent than to cure. And that's what this scripture, that's what Paul's trying to get to us. Amen? Prevent problems. Think on these things. Think on the things of the Word of God. Center your mind on those things. Feed on those things. And it's preventative. Amen? It's so much easier than trying to cleanse out the junk from the world. Do we do that when we come to church? Have we been feeding on the things of the world? And then we come into church and we expect to be fed the things of God, but yet we're filled up with the things of the world. It doesn't work, right? Because you've got to get rid of all that other stuff before you're ready to take in the Word of God. And by the time that we're done preaching, by the time we're done with service, you've just started to detox, when the whole time you could have been taking in. And that's why Brother Doug's fighting demons constantly. Amen? But oh, if we could just have a little prevention. Think on these things. If there's any excellence, amen? Anything worthy of praise, continually think on these things. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me read you just, we're just going to finish up here with several statements from The Greatest Battle Ever Fought. Of course, many of the thoughts we're taking tonight is from this message, where he brought us this thought of the battleground of the mind. But just want to back up some of the things we've said here and just with some of these quotes. He says, this is a mutual ground, a no man's land, and they fight here at this place. They don't just one fight over here and one down here and one right over here. He says there's a battlefront where they meet and test their powers, where each army tests its strength against the other army. It's a mutual meeting place. Now, don't miss this. When this great battle started on earth, there had to be a mutual meeting place. There had to be a place selected for the battle to begin and for the battle to rage. And that battlegrounds begin in the human mind. So if you feel sometimes like it's rough, that's why. It's heaven and earth waging war in your mind. He says that's where the battle starts. The human mind was chosen for the place of the battle, where it was to begin. And that is because that decisions are made from the mind, the head. Now, they never started it from some organization. They never started it from a mechanical affair. The grounds never started there. Therefore, the organization can never do the work of God, because the battlegrounds, where you've got to meet your enemy, is in the mind. You've got to make your choice. It meets you. I want this little girl here that's very sick to be sure to listen now to this real closely. Decisions are made in the mind, the head. There's where Satan meets you. And the decisions are because that God made a man that way. Now, if you was looking on my note here, a little map dried out, I had it here not long ago, used on the board. He said, the human being is made up just like a grain of wheat. It's a seed. The human being is a seed. Physically, you're the seed of your father and mother. And the life come from the father, the pulp come from the mother. So the two together, the egg and the blood comes together, and in the blood cell is life, and there it begins to develop, making the child. And the diagram or the thing that he's referring to on the board is the diagram that he drew of a human body, soul, and body, spirit, and soul, right? The three parts of a person. Paragraph 51, he says, now, there's where the battle begins, right in your mind. Whether you will. Now, remember, it's not Christian Science. Now, mind over matter. That hasn't. The mind accepts the life which is in the Word of God, which is the Word of God, and there brings the life. Just your thought doesn't do it, but the Word of God brought in the channel of your thought. See, it's not the thought, as Christian Science makes it, mind over matter. No, that isn't it. But your mind accepts it and grasps it. What is your mind controlled by? Your spirit. And your spirit catches the Word of God, and that's the thing that's got life in it.
Right.
It brings life to you. Oh, brother, when that takes place, when life comes down that channel into you, the Word of God is manifest in you. If you will abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask what you will and it'll be done for you. He's telling you how to receive a promise from the Word of God.
Amen?
Amen? Write down the channel. He says, first, paragraph 59, it must be accepted in the mind. Then it's believed with the heart. Then the Word of God becomes a reality.
Amen.
Then every senses of soul and body is just scoured out with the Holy Spirit. Then your sense of God, your conscience of God, everything that's godly flows through you. And there's not a doubt anywhere, and there's nothing can rise up. There's nothing that can come up in the memory and say, well, I remember Miss Jones tried to trust God, Miss So-and-so, Miss Doe tried to trust God for healing one time and she failed, see? But if that channel has been cleared out and been purged and been filled on the inside with the Holy Spirit, that don't even come in the memory. No matter what about Mrs. Jones and what she did, it's you and God together, nobody else but you two. And there you are. That's your battle. That's the battle, is keeping that channel filled with the good things of God, with the Word, with the Spirit. Amen? And not the memory of, oh, well, one time this person didn't get healed. They believed God and look what happened to them, or they claimed that they were healed and they were made a fool of, right? Not letting those thoughts take you captive. He says, there you are. There's your battle.
Yes.
Paragraph 68. You can have little consciences and little feelings and little sensations. All these things has nothing to do with it. That's just little sensations and things. But when it comes to reality, your mind opens it up. Your mind either accepts it or rejects it. That's it, friends. God, let none of them miss it. See, it's your mind that opens the door or closes the door and listens to your conscience, listens to your memory, listens to your affections. But when your mind closes itself to these things and lets God, the Spirit of His Word, come in, it blows the rest of the stuff out.
Amen.
Every doubt is gone. Every fear is gone. Every sensation of doubt is gone. Every feeling is gone. There's nothing standing there but the Word of God. And Satan cannot battle against that. No, sir, he cannot battle against it. Amen. And in paragraph 92, he says, hallelujah, God will heal you right in this atmosphere of the Holy Ghost where He sent you. God will give it to you, just believe it. Amen. Open up them flues of the soul and body and senses and conscience. And just let God's words penetrate. First, take that mind. There's the battleground. Not say, well, if I could feel it. How many times do we do that when we come into service? Oh, if I could just feel the anointing of God. If I could just feel, coming up for prayer, if I could just feel something and know that God has touched me. He says, not say, well, if I could feel it. If I could feel the glory of God falling. He says, that has nothing to do with it. Not a thing. Open up that mind. That's the battleground. That's where the battle sets in array. Right here in the front line, your mind. Open it up and say, I every doubt, I doubt my doubts. Amen. And I'm doubting my doubts now. I'm believing God's word. Here I come, Satan. Something's going to take place. And sure it will. Yes, sir. Amen. I doubt my doubts. What is that? That's recognizing that you're doubting. That you have a thought that's in your mind that's doubting. And you're saying, I don't want that. I cast that down. I reject it. It's not the word of God. I reject that doubt. I doubt my doubt. Amen. It's active. Amen. It's engaged. It's not passive. This is a battle. We're not sleepwalking here. Amen. We're not just biding time and, you know, going through motions. We're fighting a war. Amen. God has got a purpose for you. Amen. And we've got to fulfill that purpose. Amen. Cast down unbelieving thoughts that are anti-word. Let me just leave you with three verses. Let's stand tonight. Just three more verses of scripture here. We'll just leave you with these. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Amen? You will love God. What does it mean to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind? What does it mean to love God with your mind? Amen? It means dwelling on His Word. Rejecting anti-word. Amen? Psalm 139:23, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts. Amen? It's okay to pray for help. To ask Him to help you to do this. You're not on your own. Amen? That's why we have a comforter. Search me, O God. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way. See if there be any doubt. See if there be any unbelief in my thinking. See if there be any wicked thoughts. And lead me in the way everlasting. Don't leave me this way. Amen. Help me. Give me strength to cast down. And then finally again, 10:5. As we read at the beginning, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, Lord, we are certainly, Lord, so thankful, God, for your grace in our lives, Lord. Lord, and that you promised, Lord, that you would never leave us, you'd never forsake us, Lord. And Lord, we lean on you, Lord. We look to you for our strength, Lord. But we're in a battle, Lord. We're in a battle. I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, as we fight this battle. Lord, maybe there's some here tonight, Lord, that haven't even been engaged in this battle. They've just been letting the devil fill their minds with filth. Fill their minds with unbelieving thoughts. Sometimes it can get so weary, so tiring, Lord, that we just give up and just let things flood in. Father, I pray that you would help them tonight. Help those, oh God. Maybe they've just grown weary in well-doing, tired in the battle, Father. I pray that you would go to them and strengthen them, Lord. Help them, O God, to be diligent, Lord, to cast down every imagination, to lead into captivity every thought. Compare it against your word, Lord, and cast it down if it doesn't agree. We need you, Lord. Search our hearts, O God. Search us out, O God, with your Holy Spirit tonight. Lord, put the spotlight in our lives, Lord. Help us, Lord, to root out, Lord God, any unbelief. Lord, we need to be a people that are holding on to your promises. Lord, we have people here tonight, oh God, that need a touch from you. Lord, they need a healing, Lord God. They need a deliverance. They need you, Lord. They're holding on for promises, Lord. But something's hindering, oh God. And I pray, Lord, that you, Lord, that you would come and illuminate it, oh God, by your Spirit. We surrender to you, Lord. We say, have your way, Lord. Whatever you say goes, Father. Lord, I don't want my own thinking. I don't want the world's thinking. I don't want the devil's thinking. I want your thoughts, Lord. I pray that you would help us, Lord, as a body, each and every one, Father, to feed on the good things of the Word more and more and more, Lord. Even as we gather together, more so as we see that day approaching, Lord, may we feed on the unfailing body Word of the Son of Man. May that feed our thoughts, Lord, in a greater and greater and greater way as the time draws near of your coming. We know you're coming soon, Lord. We want to be ready, oh God. Oh, Lord, I pray that you just be with each one tonight, Lord. I know that there are overcomers in this building tonight. Lord, and they're overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They're overcoming the mind battle. Lord, you've called us to that. You've called us to be overcomers. I'm so glad, Lord, to be associated with believers that are overcomers of the mind battle in this age. Lord, you promised that to us. We thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for your Spirit, Lord, that gives us the power and the strength to overcome. How we love you tonight, Father. We just pray, Lord, that you'd be with Brother and Sister Baker, Lord. Lord, that you just strengthen them, Father. Give them just a real nice time, Lord, a time of rest and rejuvenation. Pray you just bring them home safe, Father. May they have uneventful travels. An easy trip home. Just come back recharged, Father. We thank you, Lord, for all your goodness, Lord. We thank you for the time that we've had here tonight. I pray that you just bless each one, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus tonight. Place your trust fully in Him tonight for whatever.